a little bit harder. I want to share with you an idea tonight by Rabbi Shaviv from Gush. But before I share it, I just want to say that when I went onto the Gush website to try to find like a chabura for tonight, what I found was so sad was they had like an announcement to the virtual Beis Medrash of quotes that had been made in the actual Beis Medrash like a day or two before. So Gush opened shortly after the Six-Day War, and over the course of its many years, it's only closed twice. It closed in right after Yom Kippur of 1973 for just a little bit because most of the boys ended up going into the army. But it was closed now also, and it's just with a heavy heart. But I guess, you know, on the virtual site, the message is Torah doesn't end because we're able to continue learning from, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva there from Har Etzion anyway. And I guess for us, it is a little bit weird learning this way. I will admit that, although I spend so much time in this chair anyway that I'm getting used to it. But at least, thank God, we have the opportunity to continue to learn. So, I want to share with you the Haftorah for this week's Parsha. It's the Haftorah from.
Rabbi, is it just me, or are you breaking up for everybody?
Just
me.
Okay, so I want to share with you the Haftorah for this week. It's the Haftorah from Parshas Pekudei from Melachim Aleph Perek Zayin. But before we do that. Before we do that, I want to start with the Parsha itself. So I carved up some of the Psukim to try to compare and contrast how the Parsha looks versus how the Haftorah looks. So the Parsha starts off, but it tells us in Perek Lamed Teh, Pasuk Lamed Bet, Vateichel kol avodas mishkan oel moed, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael kuchal asher tziva Hashem Moshe keinasu. So all the work was completed for the Mishkan and the oel moed, and the Jewish people did everything that God had commanded them, they did. So, interestingly, that the word that we use to say it's completed is vateichel. So, the word teichel can mean kale, which means to conclude or to finish, right? Vayechulu ha-shamayim va'aretz, we say in Kiddush. But at the same time, kale can mean to destroy. So, the Mishkan was completed. All the work to make it finished was done. And the Jewish people do everything that God wants them to do. Vayaviu et haMishkan el Moshe, they bring the Mishkan to Moshe. You have to remember that there were a lot of pieces, so they bring all the pieces to Moshe Rabbeinu. They're called Kelav, Krasav, Brichav, Vamudav, Adanav. All the different parts of it. Vet Michsei Orot Ha'ilim Ma'adamim. And the covers, right? The Mishkan did not have a roof, but it's a lot of different curtains and covers. They bring that also, but Michsei Orot HaTechashim V'Parochet HaMasach. All the covers from all the different materials that it's made. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Hei. Et Aron Ha'idup V'Badav Et HaKaporet. So the Aron comes with the Badav, the poles, and the Kaporet, the cover. Et ha-shulchan ve-kol keilav et lechem apanim. The shulchan and all its stuff and the lechem apanim. Et ha-menorah, torah, nerotah, nerot, ha-maracha ve-kol keilav et shemen ha-ma'or. Also the menorah and all of its oils and everything, and the candles. And mizbach ha-zahav et shemen ha-mishcha ve-ktorat ha-samim ve-masach petach ha-ohel. And then the golden mizbeach and the shemen ha-mishcha that was used and the ketores. They brought everything. So all the various pieces were brought all together. At Mizbach and Nechoshet, and Mechbar and Nechoshet, the outside Mizbeach, and the thing that went around it, Ashalo, at Badav, at Kol Kelav, at Kior, at Kano, and the Kior, and its base, at Kaleach Hatzer, at Amudev, at Adanev, at Amasach, Lishar Hatzer, at Meitrav, at Yotev, at Kol Klei Avodat, at Mishkan, Lo Moed. And all the walls, and all the stuff from the outside was also came, at Bigdei Asrad, Lishar Epa Kodesh, the clothing came with it, all the clothing that belonged to the Kohanim that comes as well. So everything that God had commanded, they did. All the work was completed. So Moshe sees all the malacha that was done, just as God had wanted. Vayevarech otam Moshe. And Moshe blesses the Jewish people. Okay? So that's a pretty, like, packed piece. But what we see is that Moshe Rabbeinu took the entire Mishkan. It was all the various pieces came, were brought to Moshe, and he gets ready to open it up. Okay? So we continue a little bit further on. Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayhi b'chodesh harishon b'shana ha'sheinit b'echad l'chodesh hukama Mishkan. When did the Mishkan open? So this pasuk tells us, when did it open? Good. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, second year. Fine. So they're just out of Mitzrayim. It's the a year anniversary for that, almost a year anniversary to leaving Egypt, and they open up the Mishkan. Vayakam Moshe the Mishkan, vayiten et adanav, vayasem et krashav, vayiten brichav, vayakam et amudav. Moshe takes the Mishkan. He takes the Adonim. Those are the sackets that are on the bottom, the big, heavy base. And then he puts all the poles in them, and he puts all the poles that go through the inside, and he puts up the outside. The whole thing is up. And he then covers the top with the covering just like God had commanded. If you look through the parsha, you'll notice that the word Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe comes a lot in this parsha, over and over and over again. And he took the Eidut and he put it in the Aron. What's the Eidut? So probably the Aseres Adibros. And he puts them in the Aron. Vayasem et avadim al Aron. Vayasem et hakaporet al Aron milmala. And then he puts the kaporet, the cover on top of the Aron, on top of it. Vayaveh et Aron al Mishkan. Vayasem paroch al Masach. Vayasech al Aron Eidut. Kasher tzivah Hashem Moshe. Moshe then brings the Aron into the Mishkan, puts the parochas, the cover that blocks the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and everything is good, just like God wanted. Vayichas hananet, skipping ahead to Lamed Dalet, Vayichas hananet Ol Moed, the cloud covered the Ol Moed, Ukavod Hashem Maleat Mishkan, and the Spirit of God filled the Mishkan. Velo Yachol Moshe Lavo El Ol Moed, Ki Shachan Alav Hanan, Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into the Oel Moed because the cloud was over it. Ukvod Hashem Maleat Mishkan, and the glory of God filled the Mishkan. Uvehalot Anan Mial Mishkan, and when the cloud went up from the Mishkan, Yisu Bnei Yisrael B'chol Maaseihem, the Jewish people would travel. So if the cloud stayed, Moshe couldn't get in, and if the cloud stayed, Moshe the Jewish people didn't move. But if the cloud went up, that meant that the Jewish people were traveling, right? So that's what we're told. Fine. Pasuk Lamed Chet, Ki Anan Hashem al Mishkan Yomam. The cloud was covering the Mishkan by day. The Eish Tia Laila Bo, and the fire covered it by night. Leinei Kol Beit Yisrael B'chol Maaseihem. So to the eyes of the Jewish people in all their travels. Okay, so the Jewish people had the Anan, the cloud that traveled with them. They had the fire that traveled with them. And this was something that was done all the time in all of their travels. Okay?
So he could never go into the area of the Mishkan because if the cloud was there, he's not allowed to go in. When it goes up, they had to leave.
Yes, that's a good question, if that was just when it opened or if that was going to be forever. Meaning, did that cloud hover on top of it always? Did it move in? You would have to assume that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go into the Ohel Moed at some point in time, right? That's how he did his work. So I would think that he was allowed to, that he was able to, but maybe it was just when it was opened. So that's Parshas Pekudei. That's how we end Parshas Pekudei. And now let's take a look at the Haftorah. And when we look at the Haftorah, what I would ask you to do is look for things that sound similar and try to notice things that are similar but maybe a little bit different. So, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Nun Aleph. Vatishlam kol hamelacha. All the work was done. Asher asah hamelach Shlomo. That Shlomo did. Somebody say something?
It's a different word. His completion is a different word.
Okay, good. So, right. So, they both were completed. The Mishkan was Vateichel. And the Beis HaMikdash was Vatishlam. What else is different in that pasuk?
There was no Tzivah Hashem.
So Vatishlam kol what? What was completed?
Versus avoda.
Right. In Lamed, in Pekudei it's kol avodas mishkan, whereas here it's kol hamilacha. So those are both questions that we have to figure out. Why is it vateichel versus vatishlam, and why is it malacha versus avoda? Asher asah hamelech Shlomo, that Shlomo hamelech did. Now you could say that tishlam and Shlomo are both the same word, right? They come from the same root of completion, and it does that for a certain sense of balance. But we'd like to believe that there's a possibility for a slightly better answer. So those are our first two questions. What's the difference between Kalei and Shalem? And what's the difference between Avoda and Melacha? So what happens when it's all done? Vayave Shlomo kachei David aviv et a kesef et a zahav et a kelim natan beutros beit Hashem. So Shlomo takes all of the gold, the silver, and the kelim that were made by David, and where does he put them? Otsros. What are Otsros?
Treasury houses?
Yeah, he puts them in the treasury houses. So where is the treasury at? Now, it's the treasury house of God, so this is not like the treasury of the king. But he takes the money and he takes all the gold and the silver and he puts it like into the safe or the vault of the Beis Hamikdash. Where would you think he would put all those kelim?
In the Beis Hamikdash.
Yeah, why doesn't he put them in the Beis Hamikdash itself? That's like a little bit weird. So it's a good question why that would be. So that's our third question, right? Why is he not using this? Now, at the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, what do we do? What does the word Pekudei mean? Anybody? It's accounting. It's accounting, right? What is Pekudei? It's an accounting of whatever of everything that was what? Collected to show that everything was
used.
That's like a really, like, this. It's, I guess, the ultimate in transparency, right? We brought in whatever you wanted, millions, but whatever it was, they brought in a tremendous amount of wealth, and they're able to show, Moshe Rabbeinu is able to say, look, this was used for this, the gold was used for this, the silver, all the different metals, so that when it's over, nobody will be able to point and say, Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason why you became wealthy was because you skimmed off the top. I know it's hard to believe that people would do that, but Moshe Rabbeinu spends a lot of his life being accused of different things, so it's not so crazy that that would happen. But Moshe Rabbeinu wants to make sure that the accounting is complete, that everything is accounted for. So what happened with all the silver that was collected from the Mishkan? It was used. And all the gold? It was used. Was there anything extra? Seemingly not. Yet here, by David HaMelech, what happens? There is a lot left over. All this stuff from David HaMelech's time is left over, and what do they do with it? They put it be'otzos beis Hashem. So again, why is that? So we have three questions so far. What's the difference between Kalei and Shalem? Why is one avoda and one is melacha? And then why is it that the silver is used in one place by the Mishkan in its totality and not by David, not by the Beis Hamikdash? Any suggestions why they don't use all the silver, or why they don't use the silver of David HaMelech?
They didn't need it.
They didn't need it. Why?
They had enough. Whatever they had, they still had the kelim from the Mishkan. But they need the silver.
Okay.
Okay. What are the kachay David Aviv?
Like his Vayavish Lomoik, I guess his. The sanctified stuff of silver, gold, and the kelim.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a set that's prescribed in the, you know, in Truma Tesava, that's right, the kelim, and then you have these extra that come in, I mean, it's extra.
It's better kabayas in the bank. It's not to be made into another menorah.
Also, yeah. I don't remember if I read this right, the doors to the Mishkan were not completed when it was first built. were supposed to be covered in either silver or gold, and I don't think that was completed at that time, if I remember reading it right.
So that might be Bayit Sheni, because that's with Nicanor's doors. Yeah, so the thing is, I mean, Shlomo HaMelech taxes the people quite heavily. It's a very different kind of giving, whereas the giving by the Mishkan is anybody that wants to give, give, and then people give like wholeheartedly, and there's so much that we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu says, stop, don't bring any more. That was not the case by the Beis HaMikdash. By the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech imposed a tax and said, you got to pay up. And the people did. And there was plenty of stuff that was collected, and all the stuff that was collected then becomes, you know, the product that they use. But there were definitely things that they needed to add to the Beis HaMikdash, because the Mishkan was much smaller than the Beis HaMikdash, which was much grander. So maybe some of the kelim you had, but there still was a great need for gold and silver. So why don't they use David's gold and silver? So that's the question I want to try to figure out. So there's
In the Beis HaMikdash, the tasks to build were given to individuals that had a certain spirit given to them by Hashem. So he knew exactly what to use and how to use it. Whereas by the time of Shlomo, I don't know, did they have divine inspiration when they were building it, or were they just following the blueprints?
I mean, I'd like to believe that there was a combination of both. There were probably some people that were very holy that were pushing this thing, and it was divinely inspired. But yeah, they definitely hire good contractors who might not have been Jewish even, which might be why they were good contractors. But not that there aren't good Jewish contractors. I feel like I have to qualify that. So why don't they use David HaMelech stuff? So there's two possible answers that Rav Shaviv offers. The first one is the Medrash. The Medrash says that there was a famine in the days of David HaMelech. And during the famine in the times of David HaMelech, the people were dying. And David HaMelech had all this stuff. What should David HaMelech have done with it, says the Medrash? He should have sold this gold and silver in order to feed the people. He chose not to. And people died. So the money was just not appropriate, and Shlomo didn't feel comfortable using it. That's one answer. Abar Benel, though, says, which is probably the answer that more people are thinking, is that this is blood money. David HaMelech, why couldn't he build the Beis HaMikdash? Because he had blood on his hands. He spends his entire lifetime at war. So Shlomo HaMelech felt that the blood money of David's wars couldn't be used in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So what he chooses to do is he says, I'm going to find my own money, and he puts these in the Otsos Beis Hashem. What happens with these? I have no idea. I don't know if in one of the times that the Beis HaMikdash is ransacked along the way, does that money go there? It's possible, not sure. But we're still stuck with the two first questions. What's Vateichel and what's Vatishlam, what's Avoda, what's Melacha? Any questions before I continue?
Yeah, why was it placed in the treasury, not the Beit HaMikdash? Is the answer to that?
Well, it was put in the treasury. The Beit HaMikdash had a treasury, and it goes into that treasury.
But I thought you said it was the treasury for God and not for the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah, yeah, the treasury of the Beit Hashem. Meaning there's like two treasuries. There's the religious treasury, and then there's the king's treasury. It does not go into the king's treasury. It goes into the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. Any other questions? Okay, so let's continue with Parachet Pasuk Aleph. Az Yakel Shlomo Ziknei Yisrael Ekol Rashi Amatot Nesia Avot Levnei Yisrael Al Melech Shlomo Yushalayim Lalot Et Arum Brit Hashem Meir David Hit Zion. Shlomo HaMelech gathers up all the people, even though the Haftorah that will sort of read in our living rooms is Shabbos, in whichever way we do it, it's going to be another weird Shabbos, is the Haftorah for Pekudei, there still is a hint at our Parsha in the word Yakel. Right? As Yakel Shlomo Ziknei Yisrael, at that point in time, Shlomo HaMelech collected, he gathered all the Zekenim, the heads of the tribes, the Nesiim of the Jewish people, to Yerushalayim, to bring the Aron to the house of God, Meir David, Hid Zion, which was in Ir David. So the Aron had been in the Mishkan, and then the Aron was taken out of the Mishkan when? Anybody know? It's a good trivia question. Who took it out? So now you're later on, who takes it out? The Jewish people are at war, and who takes it out? So Eli takes it out and sends it to war, and what happens? He loses it. It's captured. Who captures it? The Plishtim. Then what happens to it? The Plishtim are like, this is not working for us. The people are dying. So they take it. What do they do with it? They send it to Beit Shemesh, but maybe Kiryat Yarim. I don't remember which one it goes to first. And it hangs out for a very long time. Until, who brings it to Yerushalayim? David HaMelech brings it. It's the Haftorah of Parshat Shmini. We'll read it, God willing, after Pesach. So Uzzah brings it to Yerushalayim, except he touches it while it's moving, and then he dies with a lot of other people. I think that's where it's in Beit Shemesh. So maybe it goes to Kiryat Yarim first. So it's there. David brings it to Ir David. It stays in Ir David, but there's nowhere else to put it because there's no Beis HaMikdash yet. Vaykalu al HaMelech Shlomo, kol ish Yisrael v'yerech ha'etanim. So Shlomo gathers all the people up b'yerech ha'etanim, in the month of Eitanim, b'chag hu achodesh ha'shvi'i, the seventh month. When was the Mishkan dedicated? Nisan. When is this one dedicated? Tishrei. Why? What's up with that? So vayavo kol ziknei Yisrael v'yisru hakohanim et aron. So the Zekanim come and the Kohanim carry the Aron. Vayalu et Aron Hashem et Ol Moed v'kol klei HaKodesh asher ba'ohel vayalu otam HaKohanim ha'leviim. So they bring it up. They're bringing the stuff, the Aron, to the Ol Moed. V'melech Shlomo v'chal dat Yisrael no'adim alav ito l'fnei Aron. Mizabchim tzonu bakar shelo yusafru lo yimanu merov. The Karbanos that they're bringing are like no amount of Karbanos ever brought. You can't count them. That's how many there were. Vayaviu haKohanim et Aron Brit Hashem el Mekomo el Devir Abayit lo Kodesh HaKadoshim el Tachas Kanfei HaKruvim. So they bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ki HaKruvim Porsei Knafayim el Mekomo Aron Vayasochu HaKruvim el Aron Vabadav Milmala. The Kruvim are on top of it and their wings are spread out. Vayarichu HaBadim, the Badim, the poles are long. They stayed there, and they were up to the edge of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they're there ad hayom hazeh. What's ad hayom hazeh? Until it was written. When was it written? Probably in the times of Yirmiyahu. In the times of the Yirmiyahu, the Aron was still there. Maybe it was written by, you know, a little bit before that time, in the times of Yoshiyahu, and then it was still there. Fine. Okay, so what are we up to? Pasuk Ted, Ein Varon Rak Shnei Luchot Avanim. What was in the Aron? Just the Luchos. Asher Hiniach Sham Moshe Bechol Rev, that Moshe put in on Har Sinai. Asher Karat Hashem Yimnei Yisrael V'tzeitam Me'eretz Mitzrayim. To signify the covenant that God had made with the Bnei Yisrael when they left Egypt. Vayiv V'tzeitak Konim in HaKodet. Say again? I didn't hear you. Sorry, you're glitchy. Can you say that one more time?
It's supposed to be put in there, so.
Oh, the jar of man? Yeah. So it could be that that's in there also, but somehow Pasuk Tet is trying to like focus on the fact that A, the Luchos came in there. Okay, that's important. And B, that somehow we're connecting this moment to Chorev, to Har Sinai. Also, not clear what that's all about. Okay, but Moshe Rabbeinu also put in the Luchos, so like it's not so different. When the Kohanim came out of the Kodesh, the Anan filled the Beit Hashem. Wait, that sounds familiar, right? Because we had that at the end of Pekudei. And the Kohanim could not serve there. Why? Because the house of God was full of the Anan, the cloud of glory. So is this the same or is this different? What do you think?
As what?
Is this the same as Pekudei? Meaning we're doing a comparison to Pekudei. So how does this compare? The last two pieces, the Luchos and the cloud, they seem to be similar or different?
Similar.
Yeah. Any differences? Okay. So the Kohanim can't serve in the times of the base, in the times of the Mishkan. Who couldn't serve?
Moshe.
But Moshe really effectively is the only Kohen there because it's before the Chanukah Mishkan, and Aaron is not serving yet. So it is actually pretty similar. The only difference really would be that what happened by the base, by the base Hamikdash. What happens with the Anan?
It's never leaves.
Right, it never leaves. By the Mishkan, it does leave because the Mishkan is transient, whereas the Mikdash is permanent. So that's something that we kind of have to, play with just a little bit. But now let's take
another point is that by Moshe just says that when the cloud entered and then Moshe couldn't enter the Mishkan. But here it seems to be saying that when the Kohanim left from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's when the cloud came over and then they couldn't re-enter.
Okay. Right.
We said it was similar because we said Moshe, it would have to raise when Moshe was there also.
Yeah, I mean,
I was closing up shop, the day's done, while over here, while by Moshe, it might seem like the cloud would just be there. Then finally, whenever it leaves, that's when Moshe could actually enter it. As opposed to here, it seems like, okay, the Kohanim are ending their day, they're leaving. Now the cloud is resting over the Beit HaMikdash and protecting it. And now when the day comes back out, that's when the Kohanim will enter again, the cloud will leave.
Right. I don't think the cloud is going to be there forever. I think that's what the Jewish people want to know. Meaning, like, when you build something, it's just an edifice. How does the building become the house of God? It's when there's the Hashras HaShechina. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees when he opens up shop on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, look, the cloud is there. That means that God has accepted this. Similarly here, when the Kohanim go in, Shlomo HaMelech is like, I don't know, we've been building this for a while. This is like a multi-million-dollar project. Will God's presence rest here? And then he sees that the cloud goes down. It's great. It's exciting. So listen to what Shlomo says in Pasuk Yud Bet. Az Amar Shlomo Hashem. Az Amar Shlomo. Hashem Amar Lishkom Barafel. God has said that he's going to dwell up in the heavens. Pano Baniti Beit Zvulach Makom L'Shivtecha Olamim. He says, I built you a permanent abode for you on this planet. Vayaseva Melech HaPanav Vayavarecha Kol Kal Yisrael V'Kol Kal Yisrael Omein. Shlomo then turns around and he blesses the Jewish people. I didn't realize this before, but this is also similar to Moshe also does that blessing. So it seems like the Haftorah and the Parsha are similar, and yet there are minute differences. Vateichel, Vatishlam, Avoda, Melacha, the months of Tishrei versus Nisan, the sense of permanence versus the transience of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. So let's take a look at the third page. On the third page at the very top, so I want to share with you the Medrash Psikta Rabasi Perek Vav. So it goes like this. The whole Perek basically most of the Perek wants to understand this Pasuk of Atishlam Kol HaMelacha. Right, that all the malacha was concluded by the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Ein ksiv kan elo kol ha-melacha. Ha-melacha ein ksiv kan. It doesn't say that the malacha was done, but kol ha-melacha. All the work. He says, what is that talking about? All the work. What's all the work? All the work forever? So he says, Melechas sheshes yimei bereshes. Mikol ma'achto asher bar elokim lasos. So he says, what malacha? When we say all the malacha was concluded, yes, it's true. The entire building of the Beis HaMikdash was concluded, and that was a big deal. But what else was concluded? At this moment, also concluded was Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. God's work. going all the way back to creation was completed when the Beis HaMikdash was completed. Asa inktiv kan ela la'asot. It doesn't say, right? If you look at the pasuk, it says vatishlam kol malacha asher asa. It says asher asa. It doesn't say ela la'asot adayin yesh malacha acheret. Oh, melachto asher. Sorry, it says by bereishis mikol malacha asher elokim la'asos. Everything that God did, it doesn't say asa. Why? Because there was still adayin yesh malacha acheres. There's still more work to be done. But Kevin Sheba Shlomo, when Shlomo came, Ubana Beis HaMikdash, and he built the Beis HaMikdash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Achshav Shlomo, Melechas HaShemayim Va'aretz, Vatishlam Kol Malacha. Now, with Shlomo's work complete, the entire world work of the universe is done. Lekach Nikra Shlomo. That's why Shlomo got his name, Shlomo. It's not only that his parents named him that, and the truth is Shlomo Melech had another name. Anybody know what that was? So Shlomo. That's true. So Shlomo is also Koelis, but Shlomo also is Yedidya, Yedid Hashem, the friend of God. He's called Shlomo Shehishlima Kadosh Baruch Hu. He concluded, he finished the Melechas Sheshes Yimei Bereishis L'toch Maaseh Yadav through his work. Why is it Vateichel by the Mishkan, and why is it Vatishlam by Shlomo? The work that's done in the Mishkan is not permanent. The Mishkan is built, and that counts for something, but it's not done forever. The Mishkan will be destroyed. But when the Beis HaMikdash is built and finished, it's Shlemos. It completes God's creation from the very beginning of when the world was being built. Okay. So that is a very key piece to understanding what the Haftorah versus the Parsha. Now, Moshe and Shlomo gather the people all together at the end, right? Is it really the same thing? So, when does Moshe need the people? Does Moshe need the people to build the Mishkan at the end?
No.
No, who builds it at the end?
Moshe.
Moshe takes it. It's miraculous. He takes the poles, the beams, and puts everything up by himself. So when does Moshe need the people?
To bring the stuff
and to build the stuff. Who builds the stuff? It's anybody that's Nediv Libo. Anybody whose heart is inspired to help and to build and to create, they're involved in that. So Moshe Rabbeinu needs the people at the beginning. To gather all the materials. But at the end, he doesn't need it. He builds everything. He puts the stuff in the Aron all by himself. Shlomo HaMelech is the exact opposite. Shlomo HaMelech, he doesn't need the people to do the building. The building is done by, like, a real construction crew. But what does he need the people for? He needs them to bring the Aron into the Beis Hashem. So that's also something to try to understand. So our last question that we tried to understand was Tishrei versus Nisan. So I want to try to understand what Tishrei versus Nisan is. So the Mishkan is connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Jews went out of Egypt, and they, in order to be a real people, they need this unifying Matan Torah experience, and then from Matan Torah, they need to build the Mishkan. That's how they become one people. So therefore, it's built in Nisan as a completion of what they started with Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Beis HaMikdash, according to the Psikta, Rabsi, the Medrash that we just quoted, was a completion of what? Creation of the world. Creation of the world was when?
Tishrei.
In Tishrei. So that's what it's doing. So it's only fitting that it should be in Tishrei.
Does that imply then that the Mishkan was not, in fact,
so that's a good question. That's one of the debates that we always have. Is the Mishkan reactive, like the Jews sinned, they need it? Or was it always, you know, on the agenda to be built? It's a good question. Probably you would have to lean here to say that was always in the plans. Like, meaning that not always in the plans, because obviously God knew what was in the plans, but it's, I guess you would say it was a lechatchila, not a bidyeved. Okay, so I want to share with you the last source on the on page 3, which is the Ramban. The Ramban is in his introduction to Sefer Shmos. He has a fascinating couple sentences that I think will kind of give us an understanding of the Beis Hamikdash versus the Mishkan. So he says, Hishlima katuv Sefer Breishis u Sefer Yitzira v'chidush ha'olam v'yitziras kol notzar v'mikra avos. So Sefer Breishis is concluded, and that's the Sefer Yitzira, the Book of Creation, and it has all of the chidush ha'olam, everything new in the world, and the creation of every single thing, and the story of the avos, Shehem ke'inyan Yitzira l'zaram, which is a certain sense of creation for their children. And he says that everything that happens to the Avos was intended to be Mais Avos Sinum Lebanim. It's going to be a sign of what's coming in the future. So right after that, we have the second book, which is Shmos, which starts off with the Galus. Beferish, very explicitly, v'geula mimenu, and the redemption from there. V'lachein chazar v'itchil b'shemos yordei Mitzrayim misparam, it starts with the number of people that go down to Egypt. Afal pisha kfar nichtav zeh, bavur kiriditam sham hu reishis agalus k'mias uchal. We don't need to hear this at the beginning of Shmos, we know this already. But it's that they're going down as the beginning of the exile. V'nei agalut einenu nishlam ad yom shuvam el mekomam, the galus is not completely over until when they come back to their home, and they come to the level of their fathers. When they leave Mitzrayim, afal pisha yatzum beisavadim, right at the and Parshas Beshalach, the Jews go free, even though they left the house of slavery. Adayin, nonetheless, yachshvu golim, they were still exiled. They were in a land that was not theirs, trapped in the desert. When they get to Sinai, vasua mishkan, and they make the mishkan, v'shava kadosh baruch hu v'hishra shchinato b'neihem, and God comes and brings the shchina amongst them. As shavu malu savosam shayasod eloka aleihem alei aloheim. They then become redeemed. And then in the end, the Sefer is completed by telling us that the Kvod Hashem filled the Mishkan at all times. The Ramban is telling us that the Mishkan started... I'm sorry, the Torah starts with Bereishis telling us our history. And it continues with the exile, and it continues with the Geula. When were we redeemed? We're redeemed not when we leave Egypt. Not when the Egyptians are drowned by Kriyas Yamsuf. But when are we free? When we build the Mishkan. When we bring God's presence back to this world. So I want to share with you a story that happened to me many, many years ago. My parents moved to Jamaica States in 1984. And on our first Shabbos there, my father had to decide where to daven. There was a young Israel in Jamaica States with not a lot of members at the time. And then there was a shtibel with really not a lot of members, barely a minion. So my father chose to daven at the shtibel. We davened there. I remember I was 11 years old, not in 1984, a little bit while later, 12 years old. Sometimes we didn't have minyan. My brother and I held chumashim sometimes to be the 10th person. Okay, so this is a shul. It's a little shul. The rabbi's father-in-law was a tzaddik from Borough Park, Rav Spitzer. So when he came to the shul after I came back from Israel, so I was, Shana bed already, so I was almost a gadol ador, not quite just yet. So at that point in my life, he asked me how I was doing. I said, well, it's okay, but it's not like Eretz Yisrael. It's not like being in Israel. So he said to me something that never really, still doesn't sit so well with me. But he says, listen, Chazal tell us that when you learn Torah, So you raise yourself up to the level of being a Ben Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't make a difference. Like, you're able to create that hashras, hashchina, so to speak, of being in the Beis HaMikdash. You're there. Don't worry about it. As long as you're learning all the time, you can stay in New York and Jamaica States and everything will be wonderful. I don't know. It certainly does not sit with, like, you know, where a lot of us are, you know, educated and where our thoughts are. Yes, it's true. Learning Torah is amazing. Right now, we are a gathering of Jews learning Torah virtually together. There's no question, God's presence is amongst us. But it's not the same thing as being and living in Eretz Yisrael. But perhaps the Ramban here works perfectly in line with what Rav Spitzer said. To a certain extent, the Ramban is saying that when God allowed his Shechina to be in the base, in the Mishkan, the Jewish people were what? They were no longer begalus. But how do you have geula? Geula, he says, is shuvam el mikomam, when you come back to your place. But what's their place? Their place is not the desert. We don't believe that the Jews belong in the Sinai. We believe that we belong in Eretz Yisrael. When they built the Mishkan, you know what happened? They got themselves super close. They had created a Hashras HaShechina. It was a coming home for them. That was great. But the Haftorah tells us that that's only like rounding third. It's not a home run. When is the home run? When do the Jewish people truly come home? Vatishlam. But the Haftorah tells us, which we'll read on Shabbos, Vatishlam kol melacha asher asah melech Shlomo. Shlomo creates shleimus for the Jewish people. Because what does he do? He finishes not only what God had started at creation, but he finished what the Jewish people tried to do in mirroring God, in creating their own Mishkan. If you take a look at the words of the building of the Mishkan super carefully, you'll notice that there's a lot of language that sounds very similar to the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Why? Because God created the world, the Jewish people created the Mishkan, and there are strong parallels to them. But only when Shlomo HaMelech finishes the Beis HaMikdash is Yitzias Mitzrayim finally complete. And I believe that if you look in Malachim, it all of a sudden randomly tells us at the end, right around when the Beis HaMikdash was built, it tells us the Jewish people left Egypt 430 years ago. Who cares? Why do you need that now? Perhaps the answer to that question lies in the purpose of the Mikdash. The Mikdash was the full completion. Thanks, Shmuel. It's the full completion of what was started when they built the Mishkan in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's where they got. It's completed. The full Geula happens now. But of course, we do know that the story doesn't quite end with Shlomo. Because shortly after Shlomo, the Jewish kingdom splits. And ultimately, 400 some odd years later, 410 years later, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. And they'll come back, but that one will be destroyed also. Emir Tzeshem, we look forward to God's Hashras HaShechina once again, and the building of Binyan Bayis Shlishi. And when that happens, please God, we'll all come back to Eretz Yisrael, and that will be taking it one step further, because it won't be Vatishlam in the days of Shlomo, which was a temporary thing, but it'll be Vatishlam, a complete and with finality building, which will usher in a period of ultimate peace for the Jewish people. God willing, that should happen. Bekarov b'yameinu. Thank you so much for joining.